Okay, that's one. That is terrible.
It's fine. It's
good. Yeah, it's fine. That's the key. It's fine.
It's perfect. Yeah. You know what I say? It's great.
Do you love your wife? She's fine.
Yeah, she'll do.
She's all right. The music stopped. I grabbed a chair. Let's move on. Hello and welcome to episode 81 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany, and with me is
Adam
in
Vancouver, British Columbia,
in
Canada.
Canada, that's what we're looking for. You know why?
Why?
I don't know. No reason.
Yeah.
What's going on, Adam?
Nothing. Nothing's going. That's it. Just podcasting. I'm focused. This is going to be a great podcast because I am psyched and focused.
Oh, see, because a couple weeks ago, you were unfocused and unpsyched, and it turned out to be an award winner.
Yeah. So maybe I should just go to sleep.
Yeah. Maybe just, yeah, toss back a couple sodas and grab some cheese and phone it in.
All right. I can do that.
Did you shoot anything this week?
No, I didn't. We went camping, and yeah. I did not bring my camera.
That's an okay. Why not?
I don't know. I just wanted to have some family time and not have to worry about where my photo, where my camera was, and whether it was going to be stolen, and bringing it with me or leaving it at the campsite and all of that stuff. I just did not want to deal with it. You know, campsites can be kind of dirty and a bit dusty, and I just didn't want to have to worry about the gear. So just family time.
That is such a great answer.
I'm glad it was exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
not that it was a great answer, just that's how simple it was. I just didn't want to deal with it for a weekend away with the kids and friends. Yeah.
This is one of the main reasons that I love shooting film. And I've sort of beat this to death, why I shoot film and all that stuff. And we're actually going to, I promise we're going to do a film episode in the summer when I'm in Vancouver, and I'm going to make you shoot film and process film and touch film and whatever else goes on with film.
Yeah.
But this is one of the reasons, because you can get a camera for almost nothing and film doesn't cost very much. I shoot black and white, process it myself.
Right.
I'm not worried about it being stolen. No one's going to steal my camera. Probably not.
Even people that don't really know? The people stealing it might not really know what they're stealing?
I don't think... I mean, yeah, if they're going to steal your stuff, like they're going to steal all your stuff and get your camera in there as well, I'm sure. But they're not going to look, you know, going around looking for expensive camera gear to quickly grab. They're not going to grab my old camera that's 50 years old now.
Okay.
And they might, but if they do, it's okay, great. It's going to cost me $80 to replace.
Right.
You know, it's not quite the same investment as with my digital equipment, which will cost thousands to replace and to get the dust, like you said. Now, if I get dust in my film camera, I just blow it out because we have a new sensor every picture.
Right.
So it's not something I really worry about. I'm not worried about water. I'm not worried about batteries because it doesn't need one. The meter does, but you don't need the meter if you don't want. So you can get by 100% without charging anything. It's really low maintenance, and that's one of the main reasons I love shooting it.
I'm sold. Give me a film camera.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Right. I'm going to sort you out on eBay. I got one that I'm hopefully going to try to pick up on eBay, a really cool old camera that will cost hopefully $30.
Wow.
And if it does, and if I get it and I like it, I'm going to make you buy one as well.
Okay.
So there's that.
All right.
Yeah, I went to Carl's room.
I didn't ask you.
Go ahead and ask.
Okay. Al, what'd you shoot this week?
Nothing.
Oh, all right.
Now, I went to Carl's room and shot some video of a German band called Tab 2. Have you heard of them?
No.
It features a young David Hasselhoff.
Nice.
And and Nana as well. Supergroup. It's a supergroup with Nana, who you know from 99 Luft Balloons.
Right.
And the Scorpions are involved somehow.
Really?
And Kraftwerk. Okay. No, none of that's true. None of that's true, but they are called Tab 2. And so Chris has worked with them before or knows them or likes them. I'm not sure of his relationship. And so he did a photo shoot for them.
Great.
And he asked me if I wanted to tag along, and it was either that or sit here and change diapers. So, P.S., I went.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating.
Oh, I'm sure you'll, when the video is up, it'll be much more fascinating.
Okay. No, honestly, I think it would be interesting. So I'm interested to see what you came up with.
Also, I shot more negatives, of course, because digitizing is kind of like the weak link in the whole film process.
How so?
Getting it into your computer is kind of a pain. Everything else is awesome. Like, you shoot the film. I love shooting it. I love processing it. Like, doing the whole development process is awesome with all the chemicals and what have you. And then seeing your film drying in your bathtub, like, hanging up is pretty cool.
I'm going to pretend I didn't ask.
Okay. Then
when you got to bathtub and watching it dry, no, you lost me.
I'm not in the bathtub. I'm just, if you're going to hang it up and let it drip dry, you're not going to do it, you know, over the carpet.
Right.
So it hangs over the bathtub. And so anyways, that part's all that's great and awesome. And then cutting it up and putting it in the little, I don't know, people, I forget what you, I don't know what you even call them. There's a name for them. The negative protectors. And then, but then getting it, doing something with it's a pain. Like, getting it into your computer is a problem.
Which is why we use the little memory cards that we put in our cameras.
That is why. That's the point, that's the breakdown where I'm like, all right, why don't I just shoot digital and then convert it and use Instagram to make it look like I shot film?
Yeah.
Just do that. But, no, I ended up shooting it all. Like, I shoot with a macro lens. I still haven't got my own yet, which is kind of a pain. I'd like to have my own. But so I did much more of that because scanning, have you ever had a scan? You have a scanner?
Yes.
I hate my scanner.
I don't use mine that often.
Because it's a pain. Because whoever, like, scanners are fine. But whoever designs the software has never actually done any scanning. That's been my experience.
Okay.
The scanning software is always just a complete pain and not, it's counterintuitive, and I'll think of a bunch more words later and just insert them in the show. Yeah,
sure.
So that's always a pain, and scanning negatives is kind of the same. I mean, it's even worse. It's just kind of a pain to do. And I found that I rigged up a prototype of a film scanner. Like a negative holder.
Okay.
So I can basically, I got an old Apple box, an actual Apple box, not a film Apple box, but an actual box of apples.
Yeah.
And cut a slot in it. And now I feed my film in front with my flash behind with the little, what do we call the little soft box that we have? It's a soft box.
Yeah. We kind of concluded it was a little soft box.
Right. So I put that on, shoot the flash through the Apple box. And I'm on the other side with my camera, the macro lens, and I take pictures of the negatives and then flip them in aperture and off to the races. So,
okay. I'm pretending like I still care.
You've seen the photos, though.
The photos look good.
Yeah. They look pretty cool. So there's that. And then potentially in the fall, we're going to set up a wet dark room and do the full with the enlarger and all that.
I imagine that's where a whole bunch of, you know, attractive ladies come in swimsuits and, you know, watch you develop film.
Correct. Yes. Not your first time. Okay. I got it. And then
the name of your club where that happens, the Wet Dark Room.
That would be a great name.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. That would be awesome. I would go there.
I'm going to make a t-shirt.
I think it'd be an after-hours place, though.
Yeah, it just came from the wet dark room.
The wet dark room. Ew. Yeah. And by the way, what is this fungus on my foot?
Another t-shirt.
Yeah. That would be a great shirt. Ooh. That reminds me of a time, and this is a true story, and I won't even tell it, but that's something very similar happened to me on the Greyhound bus in Washington State.
All right, is that a cliffhanger?
I don't know. I don't think anyone wants to hear about the time the homeless guy asked me to look at his feet, but I really wish I'd made that up, but that's a true story. And dear homeless guy, yeah, they look a little swollen.
Did you have a lab coat on? Why did he pick you?
I don't know. I think I made eye contact.
How do you get a ticket for the bus?
Again, I don't know. I don't know.
He wasn't homeless. That bus ticket's like $50.
If he wasn't homeless, I'm going to have to reevaluate my opinion of homeless people.
Okay.
Because my concept, not my opinion. My opinion is fine. my idea of who is homeless and who is not homeless.
All right.
Do you think the homeless, think we just alienated our homeless audience? Yeah,
I think so. I think that's a big component of our demographics.
They take a lot of pictures.
They do.
Yeah. They also, I hear similar complaints about them scanning their negatives. So. Right.
I'm not, to be clear, I'm not laughing at homeless people. That's a serious issue. I'm laughing at you making fun of things.
The absurdity of it.
Yes.
Okay. Woohoo.
All right. Moving on.
The PC police in there. Yeah. And also took more family pics, of course, because you do that. And it's summer. Summer's nice, right?
Summer's beautiful.
What's the best part? Photographically, I mean.
Photographically?
Yeah.
I guess you got a lot more light hours.
Yes, that's a lot more hours of sunshine. Magic hour is great.
Oh yeah, magic hour is fantastic.
I love the golden colors.
Yeah, warm. Definitely get a warm light.
Yeah. So there's that. I just realized right now that my power bar is turned off, so my battery on my laptop's going to die.
Awesome.
So you tell a little story for the next 10 seconds while I turn that on. Go.
I hope he gets his power bar turned on before we have to start recording over again.
Okay, I'm not going to listen back to that, so if it was profanity, blame Adam.
Yeah. I just had the the microphone under my armpit, and I was trying to make funny noises.
All right.
That's
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations. Let's get right into the challenge this week, unless you have anything else to talk about.
I have nothing.
I do. I do.
Oh, no.
Yes, I do.
Let's extend this episode.
My cousin, who is, we'll call him a cousin. It doesn't matter. No one, are you going to do a family tree on me?
No.
Okay, my cousin, he was in the paper recently. He's a real estate agent and blah, blah, blah. And there's some story about real estate. The end.
Yeah.
Except for, it is a somewhat boring story. But I loved the photograph they did of him. Yeah, they ran like the half page thing, and it's just something about housing prices in Vancouver. That's all the story's about. That's not important to this story, except for the fact that it was a pretty boring story.
Right.
So how they try to spice up these stories now, and you'll start to notice this once I point it out, I think, is they try to make everybody look like they're Batman.
And how do they do that?
I think you know the shot, like it's like a low angle shot. They use a wide angle lens, and so the person like looks really sort of prominent in the shot.
Yeah, so they're going from low, and they're shooting up at this person.
They're shooting up to make them look more substantial, and sometimes they're looking at the camera, but oftentimes they're looking off into the distance as to all the crimes that are about to stop.
Are they wearing a Batman suit?
No. They're definitely Bruce Wayne at this point.
Okay.
So they're wearing a suit, but I see this picture so often, like it's the go-to picture now, I guess, like, you know, so look for it. I'm tired of this. Dear all the newspaper guys who listen to our show.
Yeah.
Try something else.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. You're done with this shot.
I think we all are.
I think our challenge should be to take that shot.
I got one for this week, but coming up, let's do that.
All right.
Remind me, and we will recreate the Batman shot.
Yeah, I'm going to be wearing a Batman costume.
It's going to be called Ironic Batman Shot.
Except for Jack has a Spider-Man costume, so I'll wedge myself into the 3-year-old size costume.
Okay, you don't have to be in the shot. You're probably going to be taking the shot.
Okay, it'll be better, though, if I'm wearing a 3-year-old's Batman costume.
Just behind the camera, like not even in the shot. Just in general, just in life.
As an add-on to that story, one time Jack was in that costume and we were playing Spider-Man. He was obviously Spider-Man, and he peed himself in that costume.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's that.
Good. Who are you playing in that scenario?
I'm the Green Goblin.
Are you the Green Goblin?
Yeah.
I guess so. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you look a lot like Willem Dafoe. Yeah. In Platoon, though. Not in this one. Yeah.
All right. So photo challenge?
This week's challenge. Let's start with you. You issued this.
I was clear blue.
Clear or blue?
Clear and blue.
Clear. Oh, I'm going to have to go and redo mine.
Yeah.
I did. I just took a picture of nothing. A window.
No, it was clear blue. Okay. And I made this challenge because we've been having nonstop beautiful weather here in Vancouver. Not to brag, but it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Stacking the deck. Okay.
Yeah. So this picture, this is my daughter, Sarah, at the playground. So we went out in the evening. So this is kind of magic hour. I think it's about, I want to say about 8:15. So it's getting dark here around 9:15. So she's playing on the playground, and these are a kind of monkey bar-ish type apparatus. And I kind of got low so that I'd get, you know, the nice clear blue sky in the background. And I kind of liked it. When I set the I took a number of different photos because, again, the sky was amazingly blue this night, like it is, you know, in the evenings for sure. You get the deeper blue sky. But I really liked how the shadows were hitting her and hitting her at the different levels and then, you know, not hitting her face. So you get the nice clear shot of her face. And I like this picture better than just a standard picture on a swing that we've seen a million times. I like the angle that she's hanging at it, sort of showing the motion. But yeah, I saw this picture and pretty quickly was like, yep, that's the one. And I had lots of pictures on swings and I just like, nah, I need something a little different. So after you challenged me on, you know, being too traditional with last week's photo, I thought, okay, I'm gonna shoot a playground picture, but something different than I would normally shoot or that I normally see others shoot.
Gotcha.
So there it is.
Okay. So I'm gonna start with the positives because I don't want to just rip on you or nothing like that.
Okay. Yeah.
This photo is fine.
Okay. Oh, fine. Ouch.
There's nothing. Hurts. No. That's you know, it's fine.
I like this.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this photo. No, it's good. This was a great photo of your kid.
Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff about this photo. I like the fact that the monkey bar supports are not vertical. Right. I like that. I'm not joking. I like the different angles. I like the fact that she's kind of moving forward. So there's that sense of motion there, even though like it's not blurred or anything like that, which is totally cool.
Yeah.
Can't believe I just said totally cool. When gnarly would have sufficed.
Yeah. Or rad.
Rad. Bitchin'. So there is all that. I like the shadows on her and then leaving her face is great. The fact that you got both of her feet in the shot,
yeah,
great. The sky could be bluer.
Oh, and here's the thing. I wanted to do this au naturel. I did not, you know, color correct or saturate.
Oh, no. I understand.
This is pure, buddy.
I understand. There is a way that I we could go around the how to get blue skies. I wonder if that's a whole episode, but not right now. The I would have underexposed probably another. You could have got away with a full stop.
Really?
I think so.
Well, look at her legs. Like, look at that right leg. That would drop right out. And I like
the right leg would. The right leg would. Her right arm would not. Her right arm would be right in the wheelhouse of skin tones. Her left leg would be as well. So it is, you are deciding. This is funny because I actually had not thought of this week's topic when this challenge was issued.
Okay.
Like this has nothing, the fact that this week's topic would actually have served you extremely well here is a complete fluke. and that's bracketing. We'll talk about that later on. But
okay,
it's a situation where bracketing would have really helped, because if you'd gone a stop less, you'd still get a good exposure on her and Deep Blue Skies, and I would even cheat the white balance on this. I wouldn't use this. This looks like a standard daylight white balance.
Yeah.
Okay. Or auto, which is going to give you a standard.
No, this is auto. This is definitely auto. Okay. And then I tweaked it.
Okay. Because you could have even gone a little bit more yellow on the skin tones, because it's late in the evening and all that. So, again, there's nothing wrong with this. If I walked into your house and this was on your wall, I would stop and look at it. I would not complain about this. This would be a good photo to put up there. A lot of good stuff going on. If I'm going to nitpick, which clearly
you
I
are.
Am,
yeah.
Yeah, that ship has sailed. the background clutter, the soccer net,
yeah,
and the houses and stuff. I guess the houses and the trees add a little context. If they weren't there, I wouldn't cry about it. If we got more of her, more of the sky,
yeah.
But again. You know, fully acceptable job.
All right.
Was that too harsh?
No, I think the comments you made are valid. I can't dispute what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I looked at the picture in the moment and liked the blue. Because again, to my eye, when I was looking at this, I thought this was a great capture of what it looked like to me. As that's kind of the sky when I was walking around outside. That's what it looked like, and so I thought,
right.
Well, it doesn't seem right. I mean, I could artificially, mm-hmm. underexpose or bring the saturation up to make it bluer. But that was the whole goal, was to just shoot it in context of what it was. That's what the sky looks like right now. So I don't know. I was kind of going for au naturel as opposed to making for a deeper blue sky than was actually there.
Fair enough.
But I do take your point, and I do agree with you that right arm, could bring the exposure down there and on her face as well. So I was looking at her leg going, I didn't want that to be any darker. And also the shadows, like I like to be able to still see her shirt there. And again, I was thinking when I darken it that was going to drop out entirely. So again,
possibly.
It was kind of just my choice to keep it where I did, but I do agree. I'll play around with it a little bit and see if I can find a happy medium.
Right. I would not look at this as a failure. I'm trying to be constructive moving forward.
No, I understand. I understand.
It's not like 5-year-olds will sit and pose for you. No. I want more sky. Can you play on the monkey bars different?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
All right. Let's talk about your photo so I can be a jerk.
Okay. Well, okay, constructive jerk, though.
No, very constructive.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Blue. I call this one clear blue.
I like the photo. I really don't have anything negative to say. I saw the photo, and I thought, wow, good job. He for a change, he kind of did a good job. So
yeah, once in a while, a broken clock is right.
And I, you know what? And sometimes when I really like your photo, because I have to say, I like more of your photos than I don't like. Last week, I gave you a hard time with the bird photo because I really thought that you kind of mailed that one in. But this photo, I instantly...
You know what the worst part is? Is I really did not mail it in. Like
We don't have to bring it back up. I know there's still some hard feelings.
No,
it's okay. We
it's
don't
important
need to talk.
You know I don't mail it in.
Okay.
I took a whole bunch of photos on multiple occasions.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay.
No, that sounds worse. Okay. You know what? I mailed it in.
Okay.
Okay.
There's another photo that comes to mind. The sport photo of the German soccer event, the hill photo.
That one I mailed in. I think we're clear on that one. That one's a mail job. And not even overnight delivery. That was like, oh yeah, put it on the slow train. I don't care how many times it stops.
Yeah. Okay, so this photo I really like. And the mark for me is when I see one of your photos that I really like, I immediately show Lisa. I say, what do you think? And before I kind of, give her my opinion, because sometimes I show her your really terrible photos,
mm-hmm.
and then I laugh at her. I laugh with her at you. So this was a case where I showed her and she said, wow, that's pretty cool. So this looks like something that could be used in an ad. Not that you'd you'd want to sell it out, but
Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, I like the photo. If not for the water, like if you didn't kind of wave the water, then I think it would have been just an okay photo. Like again, I would have said it's a good photo, but where I think it becomes a really good photo is the water and the way the light hits that moving water. Then that makes me go, wow, that's a cool photo. So that's where I think you went above and beyond. So for me, the light through the bottle and the way you can see the letters is pretty cool, and the silhouette is cool, and the sky looks all very good, but it's the movement of the water and the way the light hits it that makes it pop. That's my opinion. So.
Well, thanks very much. That's kind of the process that I went through. I had something else in mind with the clear blue, because we had clear blue skies here as well, luckily. And all of a sudden, we were sitting around one day at my, what do you call them, parents-in-law?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Schwiegereltern.
Yeah, it's your mother-in-law and the other guy.
Yeah. And some sailor. So I was sitting there, and I looked down, and I'd forgotten that their water bottle actually says blue on it.
Coincidence.
No idea why. And we had the blue sky, so I filled it up full of water, as you can see, and I held it up against the sun, and that was it. Shot it, and thought, oh, that'll be fine. And exposed, you know, stopped way down, because, of course, you're shooting into the sun, and I want the deep blue sky and all the stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
And there was no water, coming out of it, and I thought, well, that's kind of boring.
Yeah.
And so I took it one step further, and the light glinting through it, like the six or whatever spots those are.
Yeah.
Happy accident.
You couldn't see that on the LCD?
Oh, you couldn't see anything.
Oh, okay. It's too bright.
It's very, very bright. It was extremely bright that day. In fact, I was running the risk of blinding myself by staring into the sun. And so I had to be very quick. I had to get focus and then basically not look through the eyepiece, because I'm going to just use my camera to stare in the sun. That's a good way to go blind.
Right.
Not my preferred method, but it's the I tried to avoid that, so I had to snap away very quickly. And then looking at the LCD screen in the bright daylight, very, very difficult. So I just sort of trust my instincts.
Well, a very nice happy accident.
Yeah, so there's that. And do you want the spoiler alert, or do you want to just go on with the illusion?
I don't care. Do what you want to do. That's kind of what you do anyways.
Well, in the interest of teaching people how this photo was made is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to learn.
I rotated it 90 degrees. I'm dumping the water on the ground.
Ah. But now it all makes sense.
But wanted to make it look like there was that movement. That's intentionally did that so that it would look like there's some sort of movement going across.
Well, it's a much better photo the way it's positioned, because I would have not liked it as much if I realized you were just dumping the water.
Right. So I know I spoiled the entire illusion, but that's kind of our job here, isn't it?
That is.
Yeah. So, all right.
Great.
That's clear blue.
Clear blue. Okay, so what's next? What do we do next?
I don't know. Talk about clear red.
Okay.
No. What? This week's topic. Bracketing exposures. Exposure bracketing, I think, is what it's called. Exposure bracketing, we'll call it.
Okay.
I don't normally do it. Now this would have been fantastic. In fact, you know what? You're gonna need to shoot with this week. Because you're gonna have bright blue skies, hopefully.
Okay.
And that's a great opportunity to do it. So what is, first of all, I want to just get out of the way. For the most part, I'm actually anti-bracketing. Mostly.
How come?
It's,
you want to get it right in camera. That's the answer on the first try.
Yeah, but that's kind of what bracketing does. Bracketing can be extremely lazy.
Well, then you end up with three pictures of everything.
There's that. That's when you get unlazy, when you have to sift through everything later on, which we're going to talk about that. But for me, bracketing is sort of like having a microwave oven to heat up leftovers and then using it to cook all your meals.
I was going to say, isn't it kind of like a safety net for a tightrope walker?
if he likes to microwave things.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to spend all that time practicing the tightrope. So
the Walendas were huge microwavers. History will bear that out. No question.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is bracketing?
I think it's when you set your camera to take three exposures and you have one that's kind of in the middle and one that's overexposed, and you can set how much, you know, half a stop or two-thirds of a stop over, and then you can do this sort of same thing under, and then it takes the three shots, bang, bang, bang.
Sure. That's the way it's kind of happens in digital now. You can set your camera to do that.
Yeah.
But in terms of bracketing, like bracketing started, it's obviously like everything else, it started with, you know, when you were shooting film. And basically you want to make sure you get the correct exposure. Okay. And so what you do is you set your camera to shoot, you know, what you think is correct. And then you shoot one over, one under. Like one frame overexposed, one frame underexposed. How much is up to you. But if you're really unsure of yourself, of what your exposure is going to be, you want to have your, like you said, the safety net. Mm-hmm. Now, what you're describing is you can set your camera to do it automatically, which is kind of awesome. And as Spider-Man mentioned, or was told, great power comes with great responsibility, or something.
Yeah, no, that, I don't you know. Had the quote right.
Okay, good. Then I peed myself, so I don't remember. So that it can be overused, and then you end up later on having to sift through everything like we mentioned. But so why would you use it? When would you use it? Now, when I wrote that down, I had no idea what your challenge photo was going to be. But that's a great example of when to use bracketing.
When it's really bright.
Well, first of all, when it's really bright, it's difficult to get a good exposure anyways. Right, just in general, it's difficult to get a good exposure in the bright sunshine to make sure you compensate for everything. Now, if you shoot raw, you can mess with it later and hope, you know, bring back some highlights and stuff like that. But what if you just get it right? So that's a good opportunity to shoot, a little bit over, a little bit under. The other reason is if you're going to shoot HDR, which we talked about a couple weeks ago,
then HDR. You can kind of merge those three exposures together.
Exactly. Now, I don't really do that, but when the very few times that I do use bracketing, it's just to make sure I get the correct exposure. So, you know, you go ahead and snap your photo like I did with my water bottle and then want to have a look at it. Well, you can see the histogram, but you can't see really on the LCD screen in the bright sunlight, you know, if you got what you wanted.
Right.
So that's when you went ahead, you go ahead and shoot the backups. Okay, let's move on.
The end.
So how do you bracket? Now you described a way to make your camera do it sort of automatically.
Yeah.
Now I don't do that. I come from the whole manual way, and I still shoot manual exposures, and so I bracket manually. But it just kind of makes sense to me. If you want to do it with let your camera do all the driving, what do you do?
I'm not sure exactly what the dial is. I want to say it's maybe the A depth button on a Canon.
No, it basically works in most shooting modes. I don't know all of them because I don't use all of them.
I think I just, again, I tried it once, so I'm not the authority on bracketing, but I went through my manual to figure out how you set it, and I think I just followed the directions. But again, I'm a little hazy on the details, but I remember it was done in... I think my camera suggested that I do it in the A depth mode. I don't really know what that mode means. Can you fill us in on what that mode is?
That one, I think, is automatic depth of field.
Oh, okay. Maybe it wasn't in that. Maybe it was just an AV mode that I did it
just,
then.
You can do it in AV mode. You can do it in manual mode. You can do it in TV mode. Those are the only ones I've ever used. So, but what it is you look for in the Canon, it's called AEB, auto exposure bracketing.
Right, that's right, and which is just found in the menu, right?
It's in the menu. Now, I'm sorry, I don't have a Nikon in front of me. There, it's or a Pentax or a Sony or carry on. Fill in the blank with whatever camera you're holding that I don't have. So you're going to have to consult your manual for the exact nomenclature they like to use, but it's all the same idea. Okay. So what you look for in the menu, it's a little bit hard to find in the menu. Sometimes you go in there and you activate that and tell it, okay, activate auto exposure bracketing. And what that's going to do is now you might have to go and also set your camera into burst mode.
Yes, which I believe I had to do.
Okay. Now, again, the mileage is going to vary here, but like the my 40D and I think my 5D does the same. It'll do a three frame bracket.
Yeah.
Okay. I think some of them will probably do 5, maybe 7. I don't really know. More is probably better. So what ends up happening is I set my camera to burst mode, and with auto exposure bracketing enabled, it's going to fire off 3 exposures. So it's going to, first thing first, it's going to shoot the base exposure, the one that you think is correct. And as you're holding down the trigger for the shutter button, it's going to burst off 2 more shots.
But did I remember there was something funny about it where the way I set it up, I actually had to push the shutter 3 times, or I could set a timer, and then if I let the timer go, then it would shoot all 3 together.
That sounds like user error.
Okay.
It's not designed for that. It could be the mode. It could just be a simple feature in your menu that you didn't activate.
Okay.
Possibly. So anyway, what ends up happening is it fires off the first exposure normal, however you set it normally. And then it'll fire off an under and an over. Or over and under. I'm not sure what goes first. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
That's not important. So it does it automatically. So the question is, how much of an exposure difference do you want? How much does your camera do automatically?
I think I want to say 2/3 up and 2/3 down.
You can tell your camera to do whatever you want.
I think I set it when I tried it one, because we talked about HDR, and that's initially why I was playing around, and I went one full stop over and one full stop under.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can do it in third of a stop increments. My camera will do up to plus and minus 2 stops. Yeah. And so that's kind of the basic setting. Nikon might do more, might do 3. So there's that. So if you're shooting in AV mode, let's say, so you've set the aperture, your camera has then assessed the shutter speed. What happens? And you set a plus 1 and a minus 1 in the bracketing.
Mm-hmm. So what it just adjusts the shutter speed?
It just adjusts the shutter speed. What's important to know is that the aperture stays the same.
Right.
And it makes an adjustment to the shutter speed. So if you're kind of low on shutter speed anyway, you might get one that's really too slow and get a blurry shot. So you have to kind of determine where your bracketing is going to be and make sure that your lowest is still going to be, you know, within range of what you want.
And then you can obviously just adjust the ISO to fix that.
Exactly. You can get right in the ballpark using those settings. Now, if you're going to use the TV mode or whatever the equivalent is called, the shutter priority, It's going to set your shutter speed. You set your shutter speed, and the aperture will be, you know, corresponding.
Right.
And when you bracket, the aperture will change, which right. I don't find tremendously useful. But for myself.
Now those 3 shots, you know, you'd have a tough time, you know, definitely in an HDR world, merging anything there.
Yeah, in an HDR, you're out of luck. That's going to enough. So much is going to change that you're not going to be able to merge those. Just in general, though, just to get the right exposure is still going to change your sort of idea of what the image should look like. I think right. that's sort of my workflow.
Okay.
So in manual, I just found this out today because I decided if we're going to talk about this subject, maybe I should learn more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried it out on my camera. It turns out you can do the automatic auto exposure bracketing in manual as well.
Okay.
I assumed that manual was manual because that's how I end up doing bracketing. Is just I just change the shutter speed myself a little up, little down, to sort of season to taste and make sure I get what I need.
Yeah, and that's what I've always done too. So,
which is how I've done it in with film, because the idea being with back in the days of film, you couldn't chimp, you couldn't have a quick look and determine what you're doing. It was often, you know, at least later in that day, if not a couple days before you got to see what you shot. So oftentimes in digital, you can make an adjustment very quickly and get right on track. You're not doing that in film. So that's where bracketing started, and now we kind of use it in digital as well. So there's that. But yeah, the auto exposure bracketing will work in manual. Great.
Great.
I'm looking over the producer, and he's saying stretch it.
You sound like the grade 7 kid that I always used to laugh at doing the speeches. Public speech day.
Like, you laugh at him now or when you were in grade 7?
Well, both.
Because it's a little cruel.
Yeah, no, I think back and I still just chuckle.
How wide do you bracket? Like, when you cast your net, how wide do you go?
Didn't I already answer this question? You can just ask me again in 5 minutes.
Okay, ask me then.
How wide do you bracket?
Hey, good question, Adam. Not very wide. Hopefully I'm within a third of a stop whenever I'm exposing.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm getting it pretty close. So I usually go a third or two thirds of a stop. And again, it's very rare that I ever do this. When I do bracket, 99.9% of the time, it is the shutter that I change, the shutter speed.
Right.
Because for the most part, it doesn't change the look of the photo. Once in a while, I will bracket with aperture when I'm using off-camera flash.
Okay, so you're essentially, for clarification here, you're in AV mode and when you're doing the auto bracketing. Because you want to keep the aperture constant. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. Yeah.
In manual mode, how are you deciding? If you're setting auto bracketing, I'm not sure how it works in manual mode.
Yeah, it seems to me that in manual mode, using the auto bracketing, it still does the shutter speed only.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, all of my bracketing is done manually.
Right.
I bracket in my head and make it happen, especially with off-camera flash. That's where bracketing really comes in handy when you're going to bracket with the aperture.
Yeah.
Because you're not shooting with TTL, you're shooting complete manual flash, and rather than get up and sort of move... change the output of your flash, you can quickly adjust that by a third of a stop on the aperture.
Right.
So hopefully without affecting too much of the photo. So that's a great way to do some bracketing. Now, bracketing also works if you're using like in AV mode and you have exposure compensation going on. Let's say you've got it dialed in to be minus two-thirds. For your baseline exposure,
yeah,
it will go up and down one stop from your compensated exposure.
Okay.
Is that confusing?
A little bit.
And helpful, though.
I do understand, yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
Great.
Bottom line is it's a great tool. It's not an excuse to be lazy. Okay.
Okay, I'm not going to be lazy.
Don't get lazy. Now, lastly, what I want to mention, and this is sort of tied in, do you have any idea what stacking is, photo stacking, in your post-production software?
I've never done it, but listening to Don talk about his some of his macro images and the snowflakes and whatnot.
Oh, okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, so I had an image of what was happening, but no, if you're talking about something different, then I don't know.
Okay, now... This is true in aperture, and I'm assuming that because Lightroom is like no joke is like 1,000 times better. If it's true in aperture, it's got to be true in Lightroom.
Okay.
Or whatever else photo software you're using to organize in your photos, you can enable something called stacks. I think it's called stacks. I'm not going to look at the manual right now, but essentially what it does is your program will take any photos taken within a certain span of time that you set. So if you set it and say, okay, anything taken within 3 seconds of each other, put them into a stack of photos.
Okay.
So if you're doing auto exposure bracketing and each photo was taken, let's say you're firing off in burst mode, so each photo was taken within a 1 second span, rather than just have a string of photos, it'll stack all those together into one so you can quickly choose your favorite of those three photos.
I see. Yeah.
And then just pipe the other two, and you can move on.
Okay. All right.
That's a great way to stay on top of it. Keep your arms around the waistline here.
Okay.
The digital waistline. Boy. Anything else you want to know about auto exposure bracketing?
Not really.
Didn't think so.
No.
All right.
I know everything now.
That's all you need to know. You could write a book.
Yeah.
All right. Don't write a book. Challenge for next week. I got one.
Okay, because I've been really, again, carrying the challenge, banner the last few weeks. I've been thinking of one challenge after the next.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the bird one. I don't think I thought of that.
No. Yeah. No. That was
probably the 38 other ones before that. So I thought of clear blue.
Yeah, one in a row.
Yeah.
technically a streak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This week's challenge, something like that. It's getting early. Travel.
What does that mean?
Travel. Like when you go somewhere.
So do you have to go somewhere in order to meet this challenge?
Do you have to be a bird?
No, you don't.
So you can just
I'll take
go
a picture
birds.
Of someone else traveling.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It can be anything. It could be why clear blue was kind of wide open.
All right, travel. I'll think of something.
So travel, something to do with travel, and try to be creative instead of white bread.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, just right down the middle.
I'm going to take a picture of some Wonder Bread.
Yeah, or a guy who just refuses to bounce the basketball. Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of which, I might take one of three in the key. That might be my thing. All right, that's it. Websites, read them out. Where can people find your stuff, Adam?
SchwartzChronicles.com. And
I've
then
heard of
why
it.
Don't you go through your laundry list of items that you like to reel off at the end?
Okay. AlanAtridge.com. You can find my stuff, as always. The two hosers for both of us. Twitter, Flickr, Google+, other things. Go find us there. I think that's about it, man.
All right.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.